Boston, 1976, and their hit Peace of Mind. I saw them at Jones Beach in the 90s, and I couldn't believe that they were able to reproduce that same sound with those guitars live on stage. And years later, I attended a conference at the Flamingo Road Church in Fort Lauderdale, and their praise band performed the song during one of the worship services. The lead singer did a good job, but he had to fasten his belt real tight to reach those high notes, if you know what I'm saying. In any case, the lyrics of the song say, "I understand about indecision. I don't care if I get behind. People living in competition, all I want is to have my peace of mind." I don't know if you know the story behind the lyrics. Tom Scholz is the founder and lead guitarist. He's an MIT grad, and he was working as a senior engineer for Polaroid while he was putting the band together. As he plugged away at his day job, he noticed a lot of people around him, as he sings in the second verse, who were climbing to the top of the company ladder. What these people climbing the ladder didn't realize, though, was that they had propped that ladder against the wrong building. And Scholz wanted more than the predictability of corporate life. He wanted peace of mind. And that's why his song soars with hope. It urges listeners to take a look ahead to something better. And 46 years later, many of us still resonate with those lyrics because we're all looking for some peace of mind, especially in a world where we have an ongoing pandemic and war and mass shootings and $5 a gallon gas prices and a climbing inflation rate and political division and conflict and apparent hopelessness. And I mean, I can just go on and on, but you get the idea. A world where people are living in competition for attention and success and even just the basics of life. The kind of world where real peace seems pretty elusive. So what does real peace of mind look like? What is the path to real peace? Psychologists will tell you that you can have peace when you're able to cultivate an intimate knowledge of yourself. If you can really know and value the person you are and want to be, when you're fully able to live in the present moment, you can have peace of mind. Now, that's all well and good, but why are so many people still struggling with finding peace of mind? You would think that a little more mindfulness or meditation might be the answer, but it doesn't seem to be enough. And I think part of the problem is that on the inside, we know that we're not the people we really want to be. And even more importantly, we tend to fall short of being the people that God created us to be. We live with this thing called sin, and it distorts our self-concept as people who are made in the image of God. And it causes us to either focus on our past mistakes or to worry about the future or both. And so, biblically speaking, real peace of mind doesn't come from being mindfully aware of ourselves. It comes from standing on the promises of God, someone who can actually do something about removing the barriers to real peace. So let's focus on God's word and let's look at what the Apostle Paul teaches us about peace. Let's dig deeper into Romans 5 and talk about the path to real peace. When we look at Paul's life, I guess you could say that he had climbed to the top of the ladder in his former life. And furthermore, that he understood that real peace of mind begins with an intimate knowledge of God, more than just an intimate knowledge of oneself. And what we see in his letter to the Roman church is that he has an intricate understanding of the human condition, but also a deep understanding of the solution to the human condition of sin. And here in Romans 5, he begins to lay out the lasting path to peace, the kind of peace that is the result of, not the result of what we do, but what God has done for us in Jesus Christ. He says, first, if you want to have real peace, then the foundation is peace with God. If you want peace, realize that the basis for peace is that you need to have peace with God. That is the first peace we're talking about. And this is the foundation. It is peace with our Creator, peace with Almighty God. Here's what he says in verses 1 and 2. Therefore, since we are justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have obtained access to this grace in which we stand. We have peace with God because we are justified by faith through Jesus Christ. So when you put your faith in Christ, when you give Him your allegiance, when you put your trust in Him and in what God has done through Him, then you have peace with God because your faith makes you acceptable to God. You see, God has extended His grace to us in Jesus. Jesus died for our sins, and so when we believe in Him, we are justified. And being justified means that our status before God has changed. We now exist just as though we had not sinned. I mean, think about that. It's kind of incredible. Maybe you're thinking, but how is this possible? It is possible because the sinless life of Christ has been what theologians call imputed to us. It means Jesus' sacrifice for the sin of the world has been accredited to us. And so now God sees us as righteous. We are made right with God. God has no argument with us. We have peace with God, and God has peace with us. And so all we can say about that is, thank you, Jesus. Let's say, you know, you've committed a serious crime. And so far the authorities have not caught on to you. But to escape detection, you need to move around a lot. You create false identities, you use aliases. Wherever you go, you're always looking over your shoulder. You have no peace with the law. And the law has a rap sheet as long as your arm against you. So just imagine what that must be like, to be on the run like that all the time. But then one day, magically, it all just goes away. Maybe the evidence room is destroyed in a fire, or a computer glitch wipes out your record and you're no longer in the system. They can't bring any charges against you. Something's happened. And now you don't need to run anymore. You no longer have to worry that they may catch up to you and arrest you. In a sense, you've been set free from your past and your status as a criminal. I mean, imagine how that might feel. It would be a huge relief, right? It would feel really, really good. That's what Paul is saying right here. He says, listen carefully. When it comes to your life of sin, the law is satisfied. Your slate has been wiped clean. You've been given a fresh start. You're in a state of peace with God. In your case, God is no longer demanding justice. Jesus' sacrifice and your faith in Him rendered that justice. And you now have peace with God. And so when we're talking about real peace, genuine peace, that's the foundation. Without peace with God, it's virtually impossible for us to have any other kind of peace. And that's one of the real problems we have in our world today. One of the primary reasons our world and our society are not at peace is this: people are not at peace with God. Instead of being at peace with God, they seem to be warring against God. They seem to be rebelling and fighting with God all the time. And by the way, in case you haven't figured it out yet, that's not a fight you're going to win. Your arms are too short to be in a boxing match with God. And so listen, there's no peace apart from peace with God. Without God's peace, you are still enslaved to sin. Without God's peace, your life is still filled with doubt and fear. You're still wandering aimlessly, searching for peace you can never find. The foundation for peace is you need to have peace with God through Jesus Christ. And then if you have that foundation, if you have peace with God, says Paul, then you're able to live with a new kind of peace, and that is the peace of God. This is the second peace. Peace with God enables you to live with the peace of God. In verse 3, after Paul says we have peace with God, he goes on to say that we gladly suffer because we know that suffering helps us to endure. And endurance builds character, which gives us a hope that will never disappoint us. All of this happens because God has given us the Holy Spirit who fills our hearts with His love. Peace with God leads to the peace of God. And it's the peace of God that produces actual peace of mind within us. God's peace enables you to be free from anxiety and panic because God is present with you in the Holy Spirit. And when the Holy Spirit fills you with the peace of God, it's the kind of peace that's not dependent on circumstances. Why? Because it's based on faith that God is at work in us and that He's caring for us. You can still have joy and peace when it matters most. When you're in the midst of trying and difficult times. It's not the peace of the world that depends on circumstances in your life. It's an inner peace that makes you resilient, that makes you stand out in contrast to an anxious world. And I think most of us, you know someone like this, that someone where you go, I wish I can have that kind of peace in my life. Someone who has endured horrible circumstances in life, and yet that person has a deep peace about him or her. Maybe they've experienced loss or grave illness or unfair treatment, and yet they still have peace. It's the kind of peace only God can give. It's the peace of God. When you're at peace with God and you have the peace of God, it's easier to be non-anxious in a world that seems to be out of control. It becomes possible not to panic when life gets hard. With God's peace, you're able to not react negatively when circumstances don't go your way. And yet you tend to worry less about what's going to happen in your life and with your kids and about the future. You find that you're able to endure suffering with more grace. And as a result, you have strength of character and hope for the future. And by the way, I'm not talking about simply pretending that things are okay. You know, I'm not saying you should try to fake it until you make it. What I'm talking about is an inner peace, the kind of peace that the Holy Spirit's presence in your life gives you. The kind of peace Paul talks about when he says in Philippians, and God's peace, which is so great we cannot understand it, will keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. It is the peace of God which surpasses all understanding. So the path to real peace is first peace with God, which enables you to have the peace of God. But then, there's one more thing I wish to share with you. You see, the peace of God is really not the end goal for us. God's peace always comes to us on its way to someone else. When Jesus sent out his disciples to spread the good news, he told them to greet everyone with, "May God's peace be on this house. May God bless this house with peace." So peace was not just something they could have as an inner feeling. It was something they needed to extend to other people. When we have peace with God, we also receive the peace of God, and that leads us to become the peacemakers of God. In other words, we extend God's peace to other people. Paul says it's part of the fruit of the Spirit. God's Spirit makes us loving and happy and peaceful and patient and kind and good and faithful and gentle and self-controlled. It's the peace we share that really matters. This is the third peace we're talking about. Real peace is we have peace with God. Real peace is we have the peace of God. And real peace is we are the peacemakers of God. Jesus said, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be children of God." God blesses those who work for peace. So what does that look like? What does this kind of peace look like? What does it mean to live in peaceably or to live peaceably with others and to work for peace? We get to see what this looks like toward the end of Paul's letter to the Romans. In chapter 12, he gives us a good idea of what it means to be the peacemakers of God. He says, "Peacemakers show genuine love to others." In other words, as a peacemaker, you love from the center of who you are. You love from the center of who you are. You don't fake it. You show real love. People who live peaceably hate what is evil and wrong, and they hold tightly to what is good. They are good friends who love deeply. They serve one another in mutual affection. They show honor to one another. Peacemakers are enthusiastic and they want to serve the Lord. They're excited about serving and doing the work of God. They have hope, no matter the circumstance. They are patient in suffering in times of trouble, and they keep on praying. When God's people are in need, they are ready to help. They are inventive in hospitality. Paul says the peacemakers of God are able to bless their persecutors instead of cursing them. They show empathy. They're happy with those who are happy, and they weep with those who weep. There's no jealousy, but a genuine hope for the well-being of someone else. They live as part of a community. They live in harmony with others. They're not too proud to enjoy the company of ordinary people. They see everyone as equals and are humble about their own abilities. The peacemakers of God do all they can to live in peace with everyone. And they don't seek revenge when someone wrongs them in any way. They leave that to the righteous anger of God. Instead of overcoming evil with revenge and retaliation, they conquer evil with good to the point that their enemies are embarrassed. Paul says in Romans 12, those are the peacemakers of God. So that's what real peace is about. If you are looking to have peace of mind, real, authentic, lasting peace of mind, this is how it works. This is the path to peace. Peace with God leads to the peace of God, which leads to peacemaking in the power of God. That's the kind of peace that will radically impact your life, and the kind of peace that can actually change the world. Amen. Let us pray together. Almighty God, thank you for your word and thank you for your message. Thank you for real peace that we can find in you through our faith in Jesus Christ our Lord. Help us to understand that that's the first part, the very important part, God, is to have peace with you. And we get that peace by putting our faith and our trust in your Son, Jesus. And once we do that, the Holy Spirit dwells in our lives and our hearts and makes it possible for us, for us to have the peace of God, to have your peace in our lives. And then help all of us to be peacemakers in your name, to spread the good news and the love of God, and to live peaceably with all other people. We pray that you will bless us with your peace, that we will experience your peace in spite of our circumstances, and that your Spirit will enable us and encourage us to make peace in this world. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.